For our May 1st, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners, we will start with a pledge. Commissioner Stevens, would you please lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So that was a test because you spent the last 3 weeks in Europe. So welcome back. Welcome back home. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Rainey.
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena. Here. Chair Blumenberg.
Here.
And Commissioner Brennan will be absent today.
All right. Next on our agenda is adoption of tonight's agenda. Commissioners, what do you think of tonight's agenda?
Move approval as presented.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to adopt tonight's agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Next is approval of minutes from our April 17th commission meeting. Commissioners, thoughts on those minutes?
Move the minutes as presented. Second.
So I got a motion and a second to approve the minutes from April 17th as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I'll abstain as not being here.
Very well. We still have a quorum. Any opposed? None opposed. One abstention. The minutes from April 17th are approved. All right, we'll move on to public communications, an opportunity for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anyone like to make public comments? Seeing no one in person, do we have anybody online?
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers, so we will close public communications, move on to our closed session report. Counselor?
Chair Blumenberg and commissioners, the board met in closed session to discuss the two items listed in the agenda. Reports were given and they gave direction to staff and council. There was no reportable action under the Brown Act.
Thank you. All right. We'll close that closed session report. Move on to board communications, an opportunity for commissioners to briefly discuss any items related to the Port District. Commissioners, seeing nothing tonight, we will close the board communications, move on to staff and general manager reports. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've got some items from marketing, lots of activities and events. This weekend for Cinco de Mayo, the Ventura Harbor Village hosts an electrifying performance by Cava, who hail from East Los Angeles, performing here from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday in the Village Channel Islands Courtyard, plus enjoy Mexican favorites and family recipes at Baja Surf and Taco and Margarita Villa, as well as live music Sunday evening as they too celebrate the Cinco de Mayo holiday. The Ventura Harbor rallies around Small Business Week and encourages all to visit and patronize the harbor and the village, local small businesses this week and, of course, year-round. Ventura Harbor welcomes back the City of Ventura's annual corporate games, closing ceremony and activities. This year hosted at Surfers Knoll Beach with teams competing on Saturday, May 4th and awards given out at that time. Catch the Cal Tri here on Sunday, May 5th at Harbor Cove Beach. You may have seen the signs on Harbor talking about delays throughout the areas of the city as competitors compete from all over to participate, watch incredible Olympic and sprint distance triathlon events on and out of Harbor Cove Beach, swim and bike and run. Please keep an eye out for traffic patterns during the event. We invite all to come down to hear local band Surfer Joe this Saturday at Ventura Harbor Village from 1 to 4 p.m. on the promenade stage while you shop, dine, and play. And on May 11th and 12th, Ventura Pottery Gallery is presenting a special Mother's Day pottery market from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out the works from over 40 artists with special displays for gifts for mom. And orders are encouraged this weekend for customized chocolate from Topless Chocolate for Mother's Day. At the last meeting, Commissioner Rainey wanted to know more about the number of clicks and interest on our aquaculture webpage, and Jessica Roush did some research on that in the last 12 months. Sustainable aquaculture received 171 views, and the VSE archives received 95 views. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Brian. Could you tell me those statistics again? Was that for what period of time?
The last 12 months. Just
Last
anything
12
to add? Sustainable aquaculture page, 171 views, and the VSE archives where we put all of the information regarding the grants related to that project has received 95 views.
Very good. And thank you for the reminder about Mother's Day. It always tends to sneak up on us.
So, yeah.
Especially on us guys. So. All right. We'll close the staff and general manager reports and move on to our standard agenda. Tonight, we've got two topics on the agenda. Number one is discussion of our sustainable landscape plan. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to first introduce Sergio Gonzalez, our facilities manager. I'm going to give you an overview and then introduce our landscape architect who's helped develop a sustainable landscape plan for us.
Hi. Good morning, Board. Back in September of last year, we, with approval of General Manager, we entered a PSA with Coastal Development to give us a palette and pretty much guidance moving forward to kind of have sustainability and a pattern throughout the village. As you probably know, we already started that pattern with trees planting on a recommendation of design. Really love the palette, and you know, with that, I want to present you Robert Leo from Coastal Development to give us an overview of the palette.
Yeah, thank you, Sergio. So yeah, my name is Roberto Leo. I'm a principal landscape architect with the Design Studios Landscape Development. And as Sergio mentioned, we are tasked to develop the planting master plan for the Ventura Harbor. And so, you know, it all started with, obviously we got brought on board after meeting Todd and Sergio and the team. And you know, it started with a site visit and going out to the harbor, walking the site initially with just my team. And, you know, collecting data and information. And after that, we had a second site visit with the Ventura team, the Ventura Harbor team. And from that discussion, you know, we identified problems, problem areas that the existing planting was having, and, you know, how we can improve that. So we took that information back to the our design studios. And, you know, there was a couple of words mentioned, you know, sustainability. You know, and obviously, you know, aesthetics come to mind. And so it wasn't just, you know, plopping plants down through the site. It was a very thoughtful process. So, you know, as we sat down in the studio and thought about, you know, what we wanted to bring to the harbor, it was bringing a sustainable, you know, drought tolerant native plant material to the harbor. And then, you know, identifying, you know, what that vision was. So from this slide, you can see on the screen, we identified, you know, we want to see a strappy, succulent, grassy look to bring into the harbor. And so you'll see that vision throughout the master plan, which is great. Oh, great timing. So you know, once again, we talked about coming out to the site and identifying, you know, areas by our information and data gathering. And so when we are on site, we're able to, and back in the studio, we're able to, you know, establish these zones due to microclimates, you know, like the heat island effect in the parking lot, you know, foot traffic on the interior, shade on the interior courtyards, wind direction. So, you know, from that, there's a lot of information going on, but we are able to refine it down to these specific five zones, which is very helpful. And then this helps, you know, guide, because with this map basically for the team and our planting encyclopedia responds to these zones so they can plant accordingly without physically providing a actual planting plan, right? Which I think is very helpful. So next slide, please. So as I said, when we on our second site visit, when we were walking with the team, you know, we identify these problem, these main, you know, high traffic zones are areas that really needed improvement right away. And so we really focused on those areas specifically and actually developed an overall planting plan and then a visual simulation of what that would look like and to really help guide it for the look, you know, the future of the harbor. So this is just an example. You can see the existing picture up on the top right. That's what it, you know, currently looked like. Ew, ugly, black and white, right? It needs some love, right? And then this is our visual simulation, really bringing in some color and textures. And once again, this is all, sustainable, drought-tolerant plant material that we're implementing and bringing in to bring this color and texture. While on our site visit, we saw a lot of roses, right? And yeah, that's great. It has its place, but as we move into the future, right? You can see the colors and textures that you're going to achieve from these drought-tolerant, low-water plant material. Next slide, please.
Roberto, if I could real quickly, I think of that last picture. Or this, we can leave this one up too.
Yeah.
These are obviously mature. Your simulations are mature plants. So, how long from when we would plant something like that to when it would look in its mature state?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking, 3 to 5 years where it's going to start to like really get some size to it, right? Yeah. And look great.
Okay, thank
you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here's another area that, and everybody's familiar with this main promenade areas, right? That has some spotty landscaping right now. And once again, this is our vision, the visual simulation of the area of what it could look like. And, on that note too, there's, once again, this document is very thoughtful. And this is just the planting aspect of it, right? But there's also an irrigation aspect of it that also ties into sustainability, right? That takes a lot of investigation as well. I mean, we're just scratching the surface, right? I mean, there's, we want to transfer everything over to drip, point source irrigation to the plant, so we're not overwatering and getting bare spots, and then you're having your plant thrive. So, thank you. Next slide. And here's another area. This is, once again, these areas they all tie into the zones. So this is zone two. So this is the interior courtyard, a lot of shade, and so this is where you'll see, and you can actually see in the plant schedules on the plans, we have a WUCOS rating, which is the water use classification system of the plants in the state of California. And so you can see on the interior courtyards, it's moderate because there's a lot of shade. So, they take a little bit more water, but all the rest of the palette is low and very low. So that's why we presented this image though as well, is to give you a visual of what the interior shade can look like. It can still be green and lush and still keep watering to a minimum. Next slide, please. Another one of those. These are just another one of the areas that we identified as a problem area and a really simple solution. It's a very tight planting area, right, as you can imagine. So next slide, please. Okay, so this was, another area that is like interior to kind of exterior, so it's getting a little more sun. And you can actually see the plant palette on there, right? I mean, this is what you can expect for the majority of the site is that low water plant material, but this is just a great, visual simulation of, once again, colors, textures. It doesn't have to be all fully planted. You can bring in some great design elements like decorative rock that eliminate water still and bring a nice aesthetic look to the planters, which we envision throughout, tying in all the planter areas through the harbor, right? So, don't let that scare you, right? Some people think of the Arizona, landscape. That's not us. You can really find, select a nice decorative rock material to really tie in the site and still, eliminate irrigation, right, and planting. So next slide, please. And just clean it up, right? There's a lot of overgrowth. There's plant material also, we talked about sustainability, and then also that we noticed plant material that, is kind of poisonous in some sense, not poisonous, but just irritates people's skins. And so we've eliminated all those materials. We identified all those materials, and we don't have any of those materials in our plant palette. There's a few out there, like the euphorbias, that have caused irritation in people's skins if they touch it. But they're in the planter, so it's not, if kids go up there and grab it, that you don't want that, but they're out there. And then, so this is, so then we got out of the identifying the ones that we really wanted to attack, planting areas that we really wanted to attack. And then my team, we went above and beyond and identified some other planters that we thought, oh, this I think would be a great upgrade to the harbor. As like, main traffic areas where you guys should start basically on implementing some of this planting. And this was one of the areas So we put together, you know, the visual simulation for it, and think it looks great. Next slide. And this is just another area. This is near the parking area. And then obviously we all know this is in the parking. And, you know, once again, you know, we could have just stayed at the main traffic areas, but there's a lot of parking islands out there. And from our investigation, they need some love. So we wanted to present the visual simulation of what that could look like and you know, present for the future, right? Because, I mean, we all use, I mean, you know, I'm a Ventura resident. My family and I, we come here all the time. There's so much potential here. And you know, we want to put some love into it. So, and these are the medians, right? Once again, we just went above and beyond. We see this as a major part of knitting the fabric of the Ventura Harbor together. And this is one of those elements as you drive that main drive. So we had to put it in there. Sergio said, "Don't do it, Roberto." And I said, "I'm doing it. I'm putting it in there." No, he's great through the process. So, but we wanted to include it and have it in there to help guide you guys through the process.
And just a quick question on that. Are the medians within our control? Oh, well.
Yeah, I think actually it goes to parks.
City
parks, right? Yeah.
It looks nice, though.
I'll tell city parks. I'll tell them. No, yeah, thank you.
Maybe they would be willing to partner on an improvement like this.
Yeah, I did hear there's some discussion, too. And so then these are, you know, once again, we would love to plant the whole thing for you guys and say, hey, this is what you need, right? But we know that's not the possibility, right? So we want to get as much information as you could so that the team could go out there and execute as we, you know, our vision. And you know, Sergio can read my mind without being in this crazy mind, right? So these are some of the, like, typical of, like, you know, planter whiffs up against a building wall of, you know, basically this is, like, what you can expect, you know, shrub-wise of this size. This quantity in like a little section, and then you can easily get an idea of what that is, and then you know, make a calculation, and then on how many shrubs that would take potentially, and be able to get, you know, a budget and plan in place. And then this too, this goes along with it, with this. So the other slide's like the typical, and it has like a shrub A, shrub B, and these would be your pallets, and they're zone specified. So then you can see the symbol on the other sheet and you can match it to this and you can say, oh, okay, I have this choice of these shrubs. So we kind of refined it down to these, you know, these three zones and these pallets to make it very easy. And then we put in some, you know, design tips that, you know, we might want to see to help guide the process, right? So just basically trying to communicate as much information as possible so you guys can just get a great landscape out there. And thoughtful, right? I mean, anybody can come in and redo a landscape, but, you know, was it really thought out in, you know, the context of the site in its entirety? And was each, you know, was there some thought into like plant groupings and that's what, and textures and colors, and that's what we kind of tried to present here. Oh, and here's one of the redos right here. It's looks great. Yeah, I mean, here's a great example, right? We had some, you know, the metro trees that were looking haggard and beaten up. This is really a transformation into, you know, a great tree, evergreen tree for, that's going to grow up and provide some great shade for the parking lot. And, you know, one last thing I do want to touch on too, on our palette, which kind of separates us from other landscape architecture firms is that, you know, we're part of a, you know, there's my division, which is landscape architecture division, but then we have a construction division and a maintenance division. So when we went in with our plant palette, our initial pass at it, you know, we got all the material that we liked, we know, we have experience with, we're confident with, but then we took it a step further and we went to our maintenance division, which has a huge maintenance division up the avenue, and they do maintenance all through Ventura. And we sat down with them, walked through each plant material and said, how is this looking? How is it doing? And really refine the palette even from there. So you guys really have a great palette here to run with. And, you know, obviously every site is different. There may be some fine tuning, but, you know, that's what we're here for. And that's all I wanted to add to it. So.
Bertha, thank you. Thanks for explaining that to us. Commissioners, we got questions?
I did want to add one thing, which is based on staff's budget, some of the finger areas within this portion of the parking lot, they're able to go to work on during the current fiscal year. So you might actually see a little bit of an expansion of this pallet already within some of the parking area. So Deb, sorry.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. This is like an architecture with five zones, with for four seasons. I mean, we've got an architecture that can be lasting, that you can look at, and whatever you do with the design, the physical design, the plants would do that. So I wasn't expecting this. I thought, okay, we're gonna look at some plants and, you know, what they look at. But this is very logical, very thought out, conceptually, and particularly physically. And I like the fact, when I'm looking at the plants in terms of gallons of water, because we were just talking about water, and the water's future, it's very timely in the future of our development. So thank you.
No, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, and like, I don't know if you have copies of the master plan document, but, you know, once there is a lot of information in here, and it was very thoughtful, and we chatted with Todd and Sergio and, you know, refined this document into a really great piece of literature. I mean, the plants in here, we have bloom seasons in here, right? A bloom scale on every plant in here. I mean, we have maintenance tips. We have this overall size, the water requirements, and what zone it goes in. It's a very, thank you for noticing. It's a very thoughtful, very thought out package.
Just a quick question about internal versus external work. So you've provided the plan, but we're doing internally, we're doing all the work and all the maintenance on it. Is that accurate?
Well, Sergio can probably offer a comment, but
yeah, there's going to be a mixture of both. Like for these tree planting, it was about 18, 16 trees. So it's something that we had to contract out because of the scope of work. But internally, when we do like planners rephase, I think we're going to do that internally when it comes to planners and plants. But big scopes of work like this, we would have to resource out more likely. So.
And we have a lot of native plants in our backyard. So maintenance is a thing.
Yes.
Do we have the expertise for maintenance on native plants?
Definitely. We have a landscaper that's been with us for about 15, 20 years. That's, you know, two of them that actually have big background in landscaping.
Great.
And, you know, they know what they're doing. So.
Okay. Cool. Wonderful. Thanks.
Thank you for the native thing too. We did incorporate, you know, a handful of natives. Actually, used to volunteer down at the Channel Islands Center there at the garden there, and we incorporated some of those plants actually that you see in there, which is great.
You did a good job of identifying them as low water use and what have you. Have you done detailed water budgets on these, or is that something that we do as we go along when we identify an area that we're going to re-landscape?
Yeah, great question. That would be specifically when you get to an area, because okay, we could take a swath of like a general water budget, but okay, it's all based off of plant material, okay, irrigation type, right? So that all gets calculated into it. So I would recommend that once you get to a planting area, that's when you do it, because it's going to be more accurate at that point.
Okay. You talked about you bring your family down here. It's a great place to come. I think we all agree that's why we're volunteering and sit on a board. But we also talk about how we want to make this place a destination, and it's got to be a place when you come, it's enjoyable, it's beautiful. And I think about places, not that we're on the scale of Disney or SeaWorld, but when you go to Disney or SeaWorld, you get wowed by the landscaping, right? It's just gorgeous. And you know, we want to make this place similar to that, right? Where you come and it's just very enjoyable because it's got that beautiful landscape. So you're laying out that vision for us. I love it. Got a couple of questions. The PSA that we did for you, is it done now, or is there a retainer that continues for consulting and advising? What's the status of that contract?
I don't believe we fully expended the contract, so there's certainly the opportunity to continue and re-engage. I mean, it was to the end of the fiscal year, so the opportunity is there now that we're in budget season. And I'll put it out, and also in comment to Jackie's question. There is nothing precluding staff from accelerating the process should we get the direction to do so by using more third-party work to do more transformation. That would be direction you could give us. But at this point, the deliverables as outlined in the PSA have been completed.
Okay. Well, we are coming into budget season, aren't we? So we can talk about that. You talked about water. What's the state of the water infrastructure? I assume you looked at sprinklers and I mean, what's the state? Are they pretty good repair or is the stuff pretty old and needs a lot of work?
Yeah, I mean, just by initial investigation, right? It's been there for a little while. You know, it will take some more in-depth investigation, but essentially what it comes down to is, you know, most likely there's PVC piping to these planting areas.
Yeah.
And that stuff's good for a while. So as long as we can get an understanding of, you know, what that infrastructure looks like as far as valves, because once again, if it's conventional valve system, we want to switch over to drip. But that can be easily done. And as long as that PVC infrastructure is in place, you know, you get something good going here. And, you know, it's just a matter of converting at the planting area of, you know, taking the PVC and switching it into point source drip at the planting area, which is not complicated and well worth it. And I think actually a lot of it is already drip, so that's the good news.
Okay. All right, just kind of getting back to, you know, Chris asked how long until it kind of matures to what we see in your visions there, but I guess the other thing is, and we can talk about this part of the budget development, is how much are we going to tackle in 24 and 25, 26, right? Be curious about that because I think this is great. I think the trees was a great start. But I also signed that check, and so I realized it wasn't cheap. So we'll look forward to seeing the budget plan, right, and how we can implement that. I love the idea of using our in-house staff because, you know, I think they're available every day. I'd encourage us to keep it as a high priority. Right, again, that landscaping is something that all of our visitors look at, and so I think it's really important. You have native plants and you have South African plants. You have a good mix. All of them low water, drought tolerant. How do you do that trade as far as there isn't a good native here, so I'm going to go with a South African. Was that a consideration, or do you just kind of you had a palette of low water use and just grab from that?
Yeah, not specifically like you know, we want to use a certain amount of South African plants or anything like that. It mainly, you know, with our experience of using all the different plant materials, you know, knowing what does well, especially in our conditions. And then once again, colors, textures, sizing. Sizing's a big one on this because, you know, we're looking for specific sizes, right? We're in small little planters. So, you know, sizing specific, but the main driver is, you know, water usage one. And then it's coming down to maintenance. And then it's coming down to colors, textures, aesthetics, right? At that point. Okay. So that's how it starts to go.
So being a California native plant was maybe a fourth on that list of priorities.
It was very important getting the natives in, right? But okay, you mentioned Disneyland.
Yeah.
and like you go to Magic Mountain, you go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
What stands out in your mind? Disneyland, right?
It's flowers.
Beautiful, yeah. Right? And it's flower. And that's the thing that you want to have the nice heavy base of the drought tolerant because it's going to look, you know, better all year long. But when you add in that mixture of native or, you know, the native plant material with it, I mean, it's stunning. So we just want something that, like we said, that you come in here all year round. All year long, right? And you're like, this is beautiful. They really thought this out. They did a fantastic job. You know, I can't wait to come back.
That's what we want. All right, last question. The black rose Ionium, how do I pronounce that?
Oh, which one? Okay, let me see.
The black rose, the one of the...
The rosette, the...
Jessica, get back up a couple of slides.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mr. Black Rose, Sunburst.
Yeah. How do I yeah, say the that? Aeonium.
Yeah, see, it's hard for you
it
too.
It is. these names, they change all the time too, so it's even better when they change them on you, right? So yeah.
Aeonium. All right, got it. All right, terrific. Look forward to getting them.
If I got one more, because especially I got thinking about it because you said there might be a little more money left for us. And I know you can't answer this in specifics because we don't have the level of detail, but it would be nice to have some sort of a estimated budget for a typical planter size. If something like that could be done, it'd be very helpful to staff and ultimately to us as we get to budget time, so we can kind of get a handle on what we can afford, right, at various times. So
funny you should ask. We do have a proposal for one of the planters.
Okay.
Actually, it's the one I just had Jessica pull up.
Oh, okay. Right here. Okay. But would it be possible to get maybe for a couple of the other typical, the small, medium, the large, you know, just
yeah.
to give us, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I think we can. So what's great about this one here is that it's very specific, right? It's right. like we know the quantity, right? We can give you like a square footage and that you know, planting irrigation square footage, which could probably help drive yeah. those other ones. And on that note too, like we provided one for this, and there's a couple factors that come into play, right? One is if it's in-house, obviously it becomes more economical. But if you are going to go out of house and bring on a contractor, I would advise, you know, you do a handful of areas because, you know, your startup costs, right, will reduce drastically. So,
mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we can look like a square foot price yeah. and yeah, at least give you something.
Yeah, some as a ballpark that, you know, for budgeting purposes would be very helpful.
Brian? Yeah, actually using this same location for example, you had mentioned kind of the time for the plants to mature, maybe being a 4 to 5 year period, which sounds like a long time. Question for you, like on this planter here, are you able to start with bigger gallon plants, if budget permitting, or is there, from a landscape architecture perspective, a reason to start with smaller plants beyond budget?
Yeah, great question. So you can do all 15 gallon, but no, I would recommend doing ones and fives because they grow in and they root better, right, than getting a 15 gallon or big bulk plant material, right? It's going to be a longevity at that point. You're going to have a better root system on all the plants. So I would say stick with the one and five. Be patient. It's going to be great looking. And yeah.
All right. We looked at this one in particular just because of it's a high traffic, mm-hmm. high visibility mm-hmm. area. Yeah. I'm sure there's several we could pick out and maybe during the budget process kind of talk through, you know, some of those to be demonstration areas where we're, you know, implementing the new pallet. But I think we're off to a good start with the out in the parking lot area that used to have the old trash enclosures. Those were removed. Some other plant material was taken out, the pavers put in, and then waiting for the landscape master plan to come into effect to be able to put in the last pieces.
Yeah, great first steps.
Yeah, great. A great next step would be, you know, like, you know, doing an overall assessment of what are your high priority planters, right? And I think that would really help you drive your next task, basically, right? Identifying, like we identified this planter. Well, then is there 10, 15 high priority planters, right? And then give you a good idea of where you want to go with it.
Where this has been done before, I forget where I was. It was somewhere in San Diego, and they did something similar to this. I'm trying to, can't remember where. But they also called it smart landscape architecture, and it was really short and sweet about how they were using the resources efficiently and effectively. And what it basically did is one would look at this and says, that's physically pleasing. But the fact that people understood what those plants didn't consume and everything made it more acceptable to everyone. Are there areas that kind of put, I've been to places where they have a little thing about what kind of plants, what you have there in the plant, central planter of what they are, because a lot of people come in and say, hey, what is that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, small informational signs, basically, I think is what you're hinting at. I think, right, overall vision, phenomenal, right? Great idea. And it's like a botanical garden. You go in there and you see the labels on the plants, or the botanical garden, you walk there and they have names of some of the plants, right? And it's going like, oh, I can't believe that's from there. Or, you know, it looks like it should be from here, or, you know, whatever it is. So, and then low water use, right? Yeah, or that's a native. Right. Yes. I mean, yeah, it's a great, I think it should be part of the long-term vision, because, you know, like we've mentioned at Disneyland, I mean, that's so like Disneyland S2, right, is like getting you involved, right, in education as well. So. One more thing too, because just looking at this, we talked about the irrigation as well, right? It's tricky too, right? Because say you want to do this planter, right? And Sergio can probably test is like, okay, we have this planter that's on the system, but these five planters down the line are on the same irrigation valve, right? So then you're just switching this plant. So it's got to be, you know, not only identifying these planting areas, but being very strategic about it, right? As far as, well, this irrigation valve is capturing all these planters. Maybe it's a good idea to try to grab all these. Or is this an opportunity to, well, these three planters are in shade and these three planters are in sun on the same irrigation valve. That doesn't make sense. Let's split them, right? So through this process too, I think you're going to get a better infrastructure as well.
Isn't that the purpose of identifying the zones, is they'll be on different, they should be on
it should
different
be.
Valves,
it
right?
It should be.
Yeah, okay.
You never know that once you get into the irrigation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are these metered? Are they, Sergio, how do we track our water usage in our landscape? Are these metered separately, or how?
Yeah, basically all our water is pretty much dedicated from landscaping backflows. Okay. So yeah, all our water is either divided by buildings, landscaping, or docks. So we would sure. actually have an idea of a water usage point
for landscaping.
For landscaping.
Oh, I'd be very interested to know what it is today and where it is down the road.
Yeah. So what you're implying, I think, is do we have a goal of, say, 10, 20% water reduction or 50% water reduction? Or
I don't necessarily have a goal other than it'd be nice if we use less and I want it to look better.
Yep, I agree with that.
Those are good goals.
Those are good goals. Public comments. Don't see anybody in person, nobody online. Such a great topic. So. All right, Roberto, thank you for being here tonight. Excited about the plan, as you can see. So,
same. Thank you for having me. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, we will close agenda item number one and move on to agenda item number two, which is approval of amendment number one to our restaurant lease. Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to actually start off with Tom Bunn. I think he has a couple clarifications and suggestions on the recommendations, and then Todd and I will give a brief report.
Chair Blumenberg, members of the board, what I wanted to point out was that there are a number of recommendations that are made in the body of the staff report, which are not down there in the recommendations at the end. Now, most of those are they're picked up in the lease. By executing the amendment, you've by definition adopted that recommendation. For example, how prevailing wages are done. That's recommended here. It's not in the recommendations at the bottom because it's in the lease. But there are two things that are not in the lease, and there was one more recommendation that I had to add, and my purpose is so that you can include all of these in your motion, make sure that the board has authorized those things. The first thing is to authorize the general manager. Well, the first thing is to approve the amendment, right? Then the next recommendation that they have in there, authorize the general manager to approve change orders up to 10% for any item. Then there's one that I'd like to add to authorize the general manager to make minor changes in the lease amendment document. We kind of sprang this on the tenant at the last minute, and there may yet be some corrections. Okay. And the last one is to direct the general manager to make that $92,000 net zero fee or such portion of it is assessed and found to be due and payable to authorize them to pay that. That's all I had. So if when you get to the point of doing the motion, I'd be happy to repeat those again.
Well, could you repeat them one more time for me? So number one, authorize the general manager to make change orders up to 10%. That was number one.
Right. Authorization to make minor changes in the lease amendment before signing. And direct the general manager. I sit here to make the water fee payment, but the recommendation is to pay all of the $92,000 or such portion of it as we end up with in negotiations when and if it's due and payable.
Understood. Thank you.
Just so I understand why that last one needs to be part of the amendment.
It doesn't. If that can be a totally separate item, but it was included in the recommendations in the staff report. It's not in the lease anywhere.
Okay.
So I thought that if that's what you want to do, it should be added to the motion.
Okay. And then, Brian, do you feel comfortable that minor changes is something that you know what?
Typically non-material. Okay. That would be fine. I'm wondering about the water fee and whether or not it's just a separate recommendation from the lease, but, you know.
That's fine, as long as it's in the motion.
Right.
Meaning authorize the general manager to make the payment, $92,000 or some portion of that, whatever becomes due.
That's how I understood Tom saying it is it's a separate action in our action. We'll kind of an omnibus action here, approve the amendment, right. And then there'll be these other separate actions. Take this.
Or you can ABCDM.
Well,
I guess the piece I'm getting stuck on is there any reason why the general manager wouldn't come back to the board to update the board on what's happening with the appeals process, whether or not we want to bring a court case regarding the whatever it is before authorizing?
That's up to the board.
And that's the only thing I was wondering, like, why would we be making that approval now when we don't have any idea what the potential follow-up decisions will be.
One thing that you might bear in mind is that the general manager has said that we'll pay that either that amount or such amount as it's reduced to if it is actually assessed.
It's told that, yes. I guess the question is, though, we might need to authorize, yes, the appeal didn't go our way, but we still think that the city was not appropriate and we want to take a court case.
I understand what you're asking, and it's up to the board to decide whether to do that, to put that in today or not.
To in the recommendation today.
In the board action today, yes.
I think I agree with Jackie. We don't need to today to direct the general manager to pay the fee. What I think we can do today is take an action to say that the board supports the district working with the city and taking on the responsibility for the fee, whatever it may be. Right. I think that's and that's relevant to the lease. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Not that we pay some amount. So that's a different way of wording it, but I think it addresses the issue if I'm understanding what we're trying to do tonight.
Yes, I think our tenant needs to be clear,
right,
that the obligation, mm-hmm, to the extent that there is one,
correct,
is being assumed by the landlord, not by the tenant.
Correct. Not that we're going to pay anything because we're ever hopeful that our appeal will prevail, right?
That is true.
Okay.
So that is a way to phrase it, that the obligation will be assumed by the district, if any.
Yeah, and that leaves open for whatever actions the district may decide to take at a future date.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if we put that $92,000 if and when, I mean, if I'm watching this, I'm basically saying, oh, look, they've authorized it. Let's, why negotiate? I totally agree.
Jackie was right.
Just for the record, just one more time.
Okay. All right, quick background, and then we will move through this, I think, pretty quickly. So let's go back a couple of months. On March 20th, staff recommended approval of the First Amendment to the lease with the Aramark Beer Gardens. The board approved the amendment conditional upon prevailing wage for public works being addressed in the amendment, and that was based on the advice of our general legal counsel, Tom Bunn. Staff worked with legal counsel since then to revise the amendment. The revised amendment will address delays impacting approval and construction, pushing back anticipated opening and commencement of rent date. That'll now be stated as August 1st as opposed to July 1st. Adjust the district's reimbursement of the tenant for performing building improvements to ensure compliance with California state law related to prevailing wage. And given the possibilities of construction cost increases, you just tackled the issue that the general manager would have authority up to 10% to above for change orders. I wanted to have Todd do just a little bit of discussion on the prevailing wages. And then I was going to talk a little bit about the net zero water fee, but I think we've pretty well tackled that. So, Todd?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I think everyone will be familiar with, when the district contracts any public works of any sort, it is subject to prevailing wage. So all the contracted work that's directly done by the district's contractors is always done subject to prevailing wage and is monitored by staff. In this case, we had work to be done under our obligation to the lease that, because it was being permitted by the tenant, could not be performed until today when the permit was finally authorized by the city. That work we intended to shift to the tenant to perform and reimburse that work. That didn't change the fact that the work would be subject to prevailing wage. However, once we introduced our money into the building improvements, that made the building improvements being performed by the tenant subject to prevailing wage as well. Some of those costs were always anticipated to be reimbursed, but that also meant the work that the tenant wanted to do above and beyond suddenly becomes also subject to prevailing wage. So that work being performed by Aramark on Aramark's nickel is also subject to prevailing wage. So one of the fiscal impacts of this amendment is, well, not really the amendment, but is being addressed in the amendment, is that there is an additional cost to the district to supplement the expenses of the tenant to bring his labor costs up to the minimum standard required as per prevailing wage. However, there is a line in the sand between the end of that work and the work that the tenant requires in order to open their arcade. For example, putting in furniture, setting up their video games, those sorts of things that are effectively essential tenant improvements to operating their business. The district is not contributing any funds to that work. The work is being done exclusively by the tenant for the improvements to make the space suitable for their operation, and those are separate. Happy to answer any questions about that or fiscal impact if you have any.
Shay, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up, and then we can take questions collectively. I will say one more thing on the water fee. We touched on an appeal effort as part of working on the motions, probably for two reasons. One is that the staff is prepared to appeal the fee. One is we're not comfortable with the calculation methodology that was used here, basically referring to this as a different use, essentially, from what was there before. We certainly had an arcade there before that served food. We'll have an arcade in the future that's serving food. We believe there is a strong basis for which to appeal the fee, not just to appeal it for the sake of appealing it. So we are going to pursue that. The city has agreed to defer the fee at this time while the appeal process goes through. This is allowing the tenant to pull their construction permit, which they have done as of today and are fully under construction. So with that, we'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
All right, before I turn it back to the commissioners, let me ask for a public comment. I see nobody in the room. Do we have anybody online?
There are no public speakers. Right,
no public speakers. So, commissioners, any other questions, thoughts on this issue? We've had some pretty good discussion already.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the deed to be completed.
Should there be more?
Well, I think the way that it was framed was more assuming the obligations.
Maybe obligation.
Well, as I understood it, we weren't going to say for payment of specifically, but rather obligations related to the city net zero water will be borne by the district. Obligations could be pursuing a court case, or it could be making the payment, whatever it is, it would be assumed by the district.
Yeah, I should echo something that Tom said earlier. In order to have this fee deferred, I did prepare a three-party agreement between the city, the Port District, and the tenant that ensured that the tenant would not be obligated to make this payment, and that the district would, to the extent that we went through the appeal and the fee was still $92,000 or some dollar less than that all the way down to zero, that I was agreeing to do that in order for the city to move forward and allow for the deferment. So that should be clear, because I know you've mentioned potential legal action, and I you know, prepared and signed a three-party agreement saying that we would do this.
So we waived any option to go to court.
No.
Okay.
Just if it became due and payable, that we would have the responsibility for it. We didn't waive anything.
Okay.
Yeah, that was your agreement that was needed in order for them to get their permits so they could start working.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how changing D to make it just obligations regarding it necessarily violates that. Okay.
I just wanted to be completely transparent in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that still correct? Sorry, I'm a little slow. You got to speak slower.
I think you might be getting a motion.
Well, let's get this one, the language of this last one, right, finalized, though.
Yeah. I don't know what the water policy for the premises.
Well, the premises would refer to the lease premises.
No, no, I get the policy. What's the policy?
Well, the city's policy. Well,
fee. I thought it was regarding the set. Yeah.
I'm having trouble with the verb here about what the board does, but I think what we said was the district will assume any obligation in connection with the city net zero fee.
So you're saying strike support general manager and say district assumes any obligation. Is that what you're suggesting, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's correct.
So district assumes.
In the body of the staff report, we have the full name. I don't know if that's important here or not, Tom, but under the heading of net zero water fee, it's called the Water Rights Dedication and Water Resource Net Zero Policy.
I do not. After the sigh that we got from the board clerk. I don't think that's necessary to do that. It's as long as it's unambiguous what is meant.
But it should be that we directed.
Yes, thank you.
We're directing the district, aren't we? The district.
Are you directing me or the district?
Let's action word. we're playing Mad Libs.
So at the end, instead of for the premises, maybe we should just say policy.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
How about water fee related to this? To the lease Loose Cannon, to the Loose Cannon lease, to this facility.
I can put the whole name of
water rights dedication and water resource net zero policy.
I mentioned that.
I can put that. I just need it written on paper somewhere so I can write it out. It's in your net zero water.
The paragraph begins in
2016.
Approve the district's assumption of any
obligation.
There you go.
No, I
can't.
Yes.
Where
is
that? That seems cleaner.
I think the clerk was looking at something else.
Okay, hold on. I found. So what are we doing? Assume again?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to put the
it's
full
called
name?
Water fee in the recommendation. I mean, there's the formal title, but then it's paren water fee and paren. So I think water fee as a shortened term is fine.
I think we're good now. Thank you, Board. Appreciate that. Fun drafting on the fly.
Yes, it is. I want to ask a question about item B. Change orders up to 10% for any item. It's 10% of the amendment value, isn't it, Don?
The intent is 10% for any scope of work. So if the electrical improvement is... Yeah, so if the electrical is $40,000, it would be $4,000 the general manager could amend that scope of work.
I understand. So that's what we mean by for any item, for any scope line item. Okay. All right, so we've hashed that out. We've got no public comments. How about a motion?
So moved. Yeah, it's easy now.
Second.
All right, so I have a motion and a second to approve amendment number one with the recommendations A through D as amended here in front of us. And where will this be? So we'll document this in a minute then.
That is correct.
All right. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we have approved amendment number one and the recommendations A through D as presented. Very good. All right, that concludes our agenda items for the evening. And we will see everybody again on May 15th. And we look forward to some initial budget discussions, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, budget study session for the May 15th meeting.
Very good. Important meeting. All right, thank you very much. Yeah. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.